Hey, Prime members, you can listen to That Scene with Dan Patrick ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Hey there. On this week's episode of That Scene, we are giving a re-listen to one of my favorite episodes from last season, Lena Waithe in the scene in Master of None, where she comes out to her mother on Thanksgiving. Hope you enjoy.
Wait, is it nipples and the letter N toes, or is it nipples ampersand toes?
No, it's nipples and the word and, A-N-D, toes, 23.
So nipples, A-N-D, toes.
Yes.
So nipples and toes,
23.
So nipples and toes, 23.
Yeah, got the nipples, got the toes. I think it's very clear what a username is.
That's also what Aziz would do to me as friends. Like, he would not care about my feelings in that moment. He was just like, yo, it's funny. Let's enjoy the bit.
Welcome to That Scene with me, Dan Patrick, an Amazon original podcast where I get to talk to Hollywood's top actors and directors about some of the most iconic scenes that have defined their careers, helped shape the cinematic landscape, and even become fixtures in pop culture. Today, we're joined by writer and actress Lena Waithe. Lena was born and raised in Chicago with dreams of becoming a TV show writer since she was 7 years old. In 2012, she had moved to Los Angeles and was writing on the TV show Bones. In 2014, she produced the film Dear White People, which added her to Variety's list of 10 comedians to watch. Then in 2015, Showtime had commissioned the pilot for The Chi, a series she wrote and produced with Common. That same year, she was cast as Denise in the Netflix show Master of None. Today, we're discussing Season 2, Episode 8 of Master of None, titled Thanksgiving. This episode was written by and stars Lena. The episode was directed by Melina Matsoukas. Melina and Lena went on to collaborate on the 2019 film Queen and Slim. Thanksgiving details the process of Denise coming out of the closet and all the time it takes for her family to accept this. Lena wrote that episode based off her own personal experience coming out to her mother. The episode earned her an Emmy Award for Outstanding Writing for a Comedy Series, making her the first Black woman to ever win that honor. Why five Thanksgivings over 22 years?
Well, first of all, the idea came from a niece. I always give him credit, Aziz's brother, who's a writer on the show. They talked to me about my coming out, and I told them the story that's very similar to the coming out scene, which is like in a diner sitting across from my mom. But the truth is, coming out is a process. Yes, it's a conversation. There's one conversation that takes place. But then there's this whole aftermath that takes place in terms of your family and friends getting used to you living in your truth. But what happens before you come out, there's this sort of secret that you have that people don't know about. And for some reason, Thanksgiving just really made sense as a time for, it was a very special time for my family coming together all the time. My grandmother, my mother, my aunt, sitting around the table and really connecting and talking about what was going on in the world and all that kind of stuff. It's just a really special thing. But the funny thing was that Aziz shared was that Indian families, it's not really a thing. They don't really do that. And so it just made so much sense story-wise that, oh, what if Dev came to her house, because obviously Aziz is a foodie and loves food. So he's like, what is this fantastic holiday that we don't celebrate? So we were like, oh, great. So it was like, it'll mean like that Deb always came over to her family's house every year, which also gave the characters a lot of history and that they grew up together. You got to see them as kids. And obviously she comes out to him and the difference of what that conversation is like, you know, compared to her family. And also too, I just love the idea of every year things progressing and getting better and better. And I think a lot of people in the queer community can relate to that, is that it takes time to get to a place of comfortability.
The difference, or if there was any difference from what you wrote, the script, to by the time that it got to the screen, because as we know what Hollywood can do with scripts like this.
There's a difference with Netflix, because it's also Aziz, who is a known entity and very trusted and just also a prolific comedian, a really great writer and director. There's a trust there. And also because we were in our second season after a very successful first season, we kind of had this level of trust. I was in a different country at the time and Aziz came out. We worked on the script together and what's the layout of the episode? What are the beats? And I obviously knew a lot of it in my head very well. And we just really figured it out. slowly but surely. And then when it came time to sit down and write it, he and I were really just sort of passing the laptop back and forth like a football. And then he left the room when I wrote the coming out scene. And it just was so magical. And it's almost like we have been waiting our whole lives to get to this moment to write that script.
Explain the beats.
Yeah, beats are a short, quick idea of what's going to happen, which is like the opening. We knew we wanted to be Denise and Deb as kids on Thanksgiving. Those were the beats. It was the beats were, okay, how old are they? They're young. You see a young Deb and Denise, you know it's them right away. The next beat is, okay, they're a little bit older now. Denise is a tomboy and they're doing this. And this is a music video that we want to show to tell you what year it is. And this is what's on the TV. And so there were little things that we would do just to kind of be clear about the progression of the show and the story in that episode. And it was really helpful.
How long had you been waiting to tell this story?
I had no desire to tell it at all. I didn't think it was worth telling, to be honest with you. I didn't think it was that exciting or that interesting. And what Alan and Aziz helped me see, because Alan just asked me when they were having a writer's room in New York, just coming up with ideas for season two and what they would want to do. Alan just happened to ask, you know, he's like, how did you come out? Because they did know that the character would have her own episode. That's all we knew. Because the character had become really popular and people really liked Denise, and they just knew that we got to just dedicate an episode to her. And we didn't know what that would be about. It could have been about anything. And when Alan Yang asked me how I came out, I started to tell them, and they were so fascinated by it. And I think a big reason was because I think there's these ideas that, particularly if you're a Black person, you come out, that your family's going to throw the Bible at you. And my joke with myself was always that my family didn't even have a Bible in the house to throw at me because they weren't that great about reading their Bible. And so for me, I got to really talk about what it's like to be a Black person who comes from a family that believes that Black people should be well-behaved and shouldn't make too much noise and shouldn't ruffle feathers. There's some similarities between the Thanksgiving episode, which is dealing with my parents and my family, and the parents episode. Because with them, their thing is more about what's it like to be first generation Asian American kids, you know, and for me, it was about what's it like to be a Black kid having to come out to your family. These are things that are very layered. It was more about what is everybody else going to think? What does this mean? Is it my fault? You know, it's like, and that all that stuff I think really spoke to them because, you know, Alan and Aziz have a great sense of story and character. And so that's really how it all came about.
But you have Denise where she's nervous, but she's more comfortable coming out to Deb.
Yes.
The camera is very smooth and subtle. And so you kind of ease into it. And then when you come out to your mom, mm-hmm. you kind of just blurt it out. And the camera work is almost, it felt like the camera had a personality in those two scenes.
Absolutely. And that's all credit to Melina Matsoukas. You know, she does beautiful camera work. She's like a photographer that moonlights as a director. And what she really likes to do with the camera is to allow the actor to shine and to allow the story to really be at the forefront. So she's not the type of director that shoots things like, oh, isn't this cool? You know, like there's the infamous crane shot at the end where you see the overhead of the table. That wasn't her trying to flex as a director. It was her trying to give you a real sense of this family and them praying and what they look like. And so that's what she did there. I love the way she shoots the coming out scene in terms of the camera really staying still, you know, for a little bit and lingering on myself and on Angela and capturing things. And she's also so respectful of writers, which I really appreciate, obviously. She knew how important that story was. She knew how specific it was. So the fact when I wrote in the action lines after I come out that my mother looks around to see if anyone heard. And Melina and Angela, it's, you know, it's obviously a group effort, but they both, that moment, I think, again, it's a quiet moment. It's not a line there. You know, I mean, Angela was nominated for an Emmy for her performance in that episode. And I think a lot of that is because, you know, Melina really connected her with the material in a way that made it so human. But a lot of queer people say Black, white, everything under the sun said like, oh, I can relate to that so much. And I think what they're relating to is the behavior and the emotion rather than just the words.
Why did you know Angela was the right person?
I didn't think Angela was going to say yes. And I'm a person that is a big dreamer, but there are things that I just am like, no, 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 there's no way. Like Angela Bassett, keep wishing. And, you know, and Aziz and Melina we're very much like, we have to. And the thing about me and Aziz, we didn't know each other before the show. So a thing that we have in common is this miniseries that was on like ABC way back in the day called Jackson 5, An American Dream. It's all about the Jackson 5 and the Jackson family. And Angela Bassett plays Catherine Jackson. So me and Aziz quoted all the time. We love that movie. And so he was like, we have to get Angela Bassett. And that's the reason why her name is Catherine in the script. And so I think he was just sort of in that space of like, Lena, oh my God, this would be so perfect. And I was just like, well, good luck. And I have another actress on standby when Angela passes. And him and Melina were like, okay, negative Nancy, we'll see what happens. And they sent it to her and it just all worked out. Her people read it and she liked it as well. And she signed on. And that's when we were like, this is serious. And I still am shocked that she said yes, and that Angela Bassett played not only Michael Jackson's mother, Betty Shabazz, and she also played Tina Turner, and she played my mom. Like, I'm like so thrown by that, and I love her, and we're still pretty close. Ma, I'm gay. But I'm still the same person. I'm still your daughter. Nothing's changed.
I don't want life to be hard for you. It is hard enough being a black woman in this world. Now you want to add something else to that.
It's not like this was my choice.
And she showed compassion, but confusion. When you first come out, like, she thinks she did something wrong. And then she says, I don't want you to have a harder life. And I wondered, coming out, it makes it less difficult in life. Did it make it less difficult when you said to your family, I'm coming out?
I think it's about, not about difficulty there, but it's more about being honest with the people that are closest to you. For some people, that does make it more difficult and makes their relationships a little bit more complicated. For some people, it is a breath of fresh air, and their family knows, and there's no longer any more tiptoeing. It really sort of, it depends on the person and their family and the dynamics of their family. But what's interesting, again, is more generational. Like, my mom was born in 1953. Like, America was still segregated when she came into the world. So for her, if you come out, then you're going to be ostracized and you're going to be a pariah. Hence the amazing title of that amazing film called Pariah, which is about a black woman who's discovering her sexuality. I think they thought that that's what was going to happen because of the times in which they came up. And things were still a little shaky when I was coming out, which was now a little bit more than 10 years ago. But things really do progress. And we still have a lot of work to do. But for me to be a out masculine presenting lesbian woman, and the things that I've been able to accomplish, I think shows that people are more accepting than I think we give them credit for. Now, there's definitely a lot of work to do, and this world is not harmonious yet. We have not overcome at this time, at this date, but I think that people are more good than they are bad. I just had more optimism about that than my mom did at the time. And I think that's really how I wanted the episode to feel, was that she wasn't a villain and I wasn't the hero. It was two human beings trying to navigate this new dynamic in their relationship with this revealing of this secret. And I think that that's why it sort of touched a nerve, because I wouldn't have gotten as many people to, I think, see themselves if I just painted my mom with a broad stroke. I think it was important to make sure she felt just as human and vulnerable as my character.
And also, there's a line about, you know, don't tell your grandma because she forgets and you're going to have to come out each week.
Yeah. True. It's like, she can't handle it. She can't handle that. But then we also like to play with, for me and Aziz, in our minds, we kind of imagine that she knew and was cool about it, you know. So that's another layer, too, that some people kind of pick up on, some people don't. But when she introduces her girl to the three musketeers, her grandmother, her mom, and her aunt. Her mom and her aunt are uncomfortable, but the grandmother is just very sweet and very easygoing.
It did stand out because there she has a look. She doesn't say anything, but she has a look that I don't know if she knows or she didn't hear you.
You know what? And we can leave that up to the audience. That's audience choice.
And the fact that, you know, grandma hugs one of your girlfriends, Michelle, right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Like, that was also kind of, I'm big on body language, and I'm just seeing how this, like, you come in and you're going in for the hug, and I'll give you a little dap here. Or,
you're right.
Yeah, like, and then all of a sudden.
And the mom is very uncomfortable. She's like, I don't even know how to deal with this.
And then grandma comes in. It's like, come here, honey. You know?
Uh-huh. Yep. And I think that's really, we don't often give, you know, our grandparents that credit, you know, to sometimes we want to protect them or not really, you know, overwhelm them. But the truth is they can handle more than we think.
How important was comedy in that episode?
Oh, my God. It's why I've heard from so many people that said they can watch it with their parents, you know, and have a very much easier conversation because of the humor. And I think humor always makes things easier. It always tells truths in a way that is less painful, because the truth is painful sometimes. But when it's funny, then it becomes more relatable, because everybody has a gay cousin or a neighbor or a coworker or a kid. And I think that they also have, maybe those people have been experiences where someone has come out to them and they may not have said the right thing, or they've said something that they regret, or they said something kind of silly. And so to me, I really wanted to put us all on equal footing and say that this is just as weird for me as it is for you. and I think there were ways that we could be funny about it. And also too, some of the funniest things are the truth. Like when I came out to my friends, I couldn't say the word lesbian yet. So I said Lebanese. And it was so when I told that to Aziz, he was like, that's brilliant.
All right, you know Erica?
White Erica or Black Erica?
Nah, mixed Erica.
Oh yeah, I know mixed Erica. She's cute.
I like her. I have a crush on her.
Wait, are you trying to tell me that you're, you know?
Lebanese.
Wait, you're from Lebanon?
No, I don't know how to, I'm not comfortable with the word, lesbian.
I think it's cool you're a Lebanese trophy.
Thanks, dude.
Damn, this has been an intense talk.
He always prefers the real stuff. Like when I tell him a real thing, he's like, let's put that in there. And I think that's really how I operate too. I mean, I think the big thing about my work is pull from things that I know and things that I've seen and things that I've experienced or things that I've said. And it's a beautiful feeling when someone says, oh, I like that line, or I can relate to that scene, or I like that thing, because it means it's a common bond. It's a shared experience that we have if we're all laughing at the same thing. That's the thing. It brings us all together.
What's the funniest line in that episode to you?
Oh, man. I mean, nipples and toes is pretty high up.
Well, just Aziz's role at the dinner table where he keeps saying it over and over and over.
That's also what Aziz would do to me as friends. Like, he would, like, not care about my feelings in that moment. He was just like, yo, it's funny. Let's enjoy the bit. But yeah, nipples and toes, which is like also based on something kind of real. Like there was a girl with a very suggestive handle. She since changed it now to her actual name that I used to kick it with. And so I told him, yes, he knows the real name, but I'll never reveal the actual one because I'm going to be respectful. But he wanted to use that one. And I was like, you can't. I was like, you can't. I was like, that I won't let you do. And so he's like, well, you got to come up with something better. And then I was like, okay. And I just said, what about nipples and toes? And then he was like, oh, he said, what about nipples and toes 23? And then the joke is, wait a minute, there's like 22 other nipples and toes. So that's when me and Aziz are at our best. Like, you know what I mean? Like just going back and forth and being silly and it just works.
Who was she attracted to more, do you think?
I think when you're dating and you're figuring it out, what you're attracted to and what you like, I think evolves. You know, I think if you look at a person you dated in high school versus college versus when you got out of college versus who you marry, that person usually is different. And because you're looking for different things. And so I love that we have a different types of women that she's dated. And one maybe is a little bit more arm candy. One is a little bit more someone who's equally yoked. But of course, Aziz's character is going to maybe tease me about one more than the other. But I also think that's what friends do. You know, I think your friends are going to always have a bit of judgment or a commentary about who you bring home. And so I'm glad that we got to do that. And Erica did a great job on that one.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas, absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Speaking of friends, it seems like Denise is at her happiest when she's staring at Jennifer Aniston poster.
Hilarious. Yeah, man. It's like, well, we also tried to pull in something funny because I genuinely watched Friends a ton. You know, I think it's a person who wanted to be a television writer. I wanted to be a television writer for a very long time, particularly half-hour TV. And I used to watch Friends all the time. I used to listen to commentary, David Crane or Marta Kaufman. So of course, me being a young lesbian, we wanted to do a play on that. Like, okay, who would she possibly have a crush on? And so we were just like, well, let's be basic. Like, who did everybody have a crush on during that time? We also wanted to play with the time and, like, you know, like the 90s, like, Jennifer Aniston still reigning supreme. I mean, please, she's on a new show now. But we were like, we were trying to really figure out, like, who are the hottest people? And we were like, oh, we got to get like a old, like, picture of Jennifer Aniston. And so, and also play into the lesbian thing. So we did that too, and which was hilarious and funny. But funny enough, that one doesn't get as much talk or chatter. I don't know why. You're like one of the few people to bring it up. Like, very few people pick up on that. But I like that one too.
I noticed the subtlety. I think that's the brilliance in comedy. It's and I just noticed your face. It just felt like there was that took you into a safe space, or you loved who you were. And when you're staring at Jennifer Aniston,
I mean, I'll take it. Yeah, exactly. It was a little aside that I think we had. It's a bit of an evergreen, you know, in an episode. But we loved it, and I'm glad it lived.
Well, I just hope she don't bring home no white girl, because I don't want to see no Jennifer Anistons up in here.
Well, honey, Becky is coming. And Megan. And Katie. All right, let's, I'm going to finish the piece.
You got to truncate your story into 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy.
No, but I didn't find it to be difficult either. I love that form of storytelling, and I grew up on it.
But do you think that way? Like, you think in 30-minute blocks with things?
Yeah, I do. I just love it. And obviously, I've written hour-long television, you know, with The Chi and working on season 4 right now. So, obviously, I've written a feature. I've played in all the sandboxes, but 30 minutes is my sweet spot. I love trying to pull you in, intrigue you, and leave you wanting more in 30 pages.
And that's an art to do it. If you look at all the great shows through history, we love to single out these shows that were a half hour long.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, All in the Family, Mary Tyler Moore Show, The Cosby Show, Happy Days, some of our most iconic, you know, Good Times, Jeffersons. And these are multicams, you know. Then please, you get into the single camera stuff that changed television. Sex and the City, 30 Rock, Parks and Recreation, The Office, you know, some of my favorite shows that, you know, didn't get as much attention, but I loved The Comeback. I love Hello Ladies. Some of these shows are just really beautifully done.
When did you know that it was something special?
You know, the filming of it was very moving. I felt very free. I felt like this is exactly where I was supposed to be and what I should be doing. And I felt very connected to Melina. So that to me was really amazing, but I wasn't thinking about the finished product. I didn't know really what we had until Aziz called me, because he was showing episodes to people. And every time he was showing people, he would text me and say, man, people are really, really responding to your episode. And I would just go, oh, great. That's amazing. Cool. And then he would keep doing it and keep doing it. And he's just like, yeah, this person. I'm like, okay, great. And then once it hit, once it actually came out and I saw the reaction on Twitter, and I thought, wow, that's really kind. That's really lovely. And oh, geez, who knew this many queer people had the same similar experience? And then the articles started popping up. And I had a PR team at the time, and they really kind of whispered. They were like, the fact that we're getting incoming calls about it and we're not out there trying to, you know, sell the story, they was like, that's different. This feels different. And it just sort of took off, and it really took on a life of its own in a way that I think none of us ever imagined. I really didn't. I wasn't thinking about anything. And that's post the show already winning an Emmy for writing. I never felt any pressure or like, oh, well, this may need to be the episode. I never thought about that. And that's really what I try to tell people that are coming up and want to be writers. I'm like, you can't be thinking about the end product. You can't be thinking about the awards. You got to really make sure you're telling an honest story and you're putting your whole heart and soul into it. And then people connect to it, and that's a gift. But it was sort of definitely a slow build. And then now every year, people always hit me and say, oh, we're watching it again. We're watching it on Thanksgiving. And this is a really beautiful thing to be a part of people's holiday.
And also, I love the overhead shot at the end, because if you didn't know what transpired, you would look at that and say, oh, that's just a family getting together for Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. And a little tidbit I love about it is that my girlfriend closes the circle, which is really kind of cool. So, yeah, it's like those little things even I started to pay attention to after seeing it so many times.
Would you change anything?
No, never. But I wouldn't change anything about the work once it's done. I believe that once you give it to the world, it's no longer yours.
God, I agonize, though, over things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a wasted use of your emotions, because what's done is done. And all you have is what's ahead.
Yeah, but I'll think back on a question I could have asked or phrased differently.
True, but I think that's different. I think it's about you honing your craft and being better. Because I'm sure Michael Jordan looks at certain games and goes, damn, I should have played that better. But then the next game, he knows not to make that same mistake again.
Were you a Jordan Bulls fan?
Absolutely. You know, growing up in Chicago, man, it's like that was Camelot. It was heaven. It was like, we are the champions. And also, I think I learned a lot from the way he played and moved in terms of how I applied in my career. It's about, what do I have to do to be the best? And sometimes that means to sacrifice. Sometimes that means to be harder on myself than I am on anyone else.
What inspired you to do Queen Slim?
There was this thing that seemed to keep happening where a Black person would be killed by a police officer and their name would be a hashtag. A mural would go up within a week, and people would be wearing shirts, T-shirts with their face on it. And it seemed to be a pattern that kept happening. And it was something I couldn't get out of my head. And so I just saw this, the ending of this movie of these two people that were killed by police officers. They become immortal. They become a symbol of a time, of a movement, of a people. And I think what was interesting to me was, I was like, but what about who they were for real before they became an image, before they became politicized? And that's really where it came from. But also, too, I was pitched the idea. I was thinking about that. But then James Fry, who wrote A Million Little Pieces, he pitched me the line about, what if you have a Black man, Black woman get pulled over by a police officer, they kill him in self-defense and go on the run. That really got married to what was happening. And so that's really where it came together. I'm just so grateful and blessed that I was at this party and he came up to me and said, that thing is such a Hollywood story. And I was like, man, that's all I need. I'm going to take that and run with it. And that's really how Queen and Slim was born. And then obviously I gave the script to Melina. Neither one of us had done a movie before. And she was like, this is it. This is my first movie. I said, okay, let's do it together.
Would you rather sit down with directors or actors? You know, just a think tank of learning.
Oh, I like both. I think you can learn from both. You know, I think people don't give actors enough credit in terms of what they bring to film and television and theater. And here's the deal. These characters would only live in writers' heads if it were not for actors. They're the ones that really bring them to life. You know, when you think about The Godfather, you think about Marlon Brando, you even think about, you know, Coppola, you're thinking about these performances, you're thinking about the way things are said. A line of dialogue becomes iconic in Bette Davis's mouth. You know, fasten your seatbelts, it's going to be a bumpy night. I mean, it's like these things are iconic, you know, and it's because of actors bringing whatever they bring to that character and how they want to say things. But directors are the ones that capture all of the magic. And if they don't do their job, all of us are just sort of, what's the point? You know, it's like, because that's really, to me, that's why people often think that I'm a director or want to be one. I have no desire to be a director, because a director, all the buck stops with them. You know, it's like they have to interpret the words. They have to make sure that the actors are interpreting them in a way that makes sense. They have to talk to the director of photography to make sure the shot is what it needs to be. I mean, the director is the maestro, and I'm just a member of the band. So I love to talk to both.
I'm surprised you haven't brought up my acting career, Lena. I have been in 18 Adam Sandler movies.
Okay, got it.
I acted in a scene with Nicole Kidman and Jennifer Aniston, your girlfriend.
Well, hold on, wait. What movie?
It was Just Go With It.
Oh, I remember that movie.
I'm on stage. It's my nightclub when they do the
hula.
Yeah.
Wow. See, I knew about the hula. Come on, the hula dance.
You're the judges. You're voting for your favorite hula girl. How about we do it over here? Can I get a little something up here in the corner? Has anybody got a conscience here tonight? Come on, you did well. It's Tom. What do I got over here? Anybody?
How tall do you think that guy is?
The Tanner guy? I don't know.
Yeah, that Tanner. Looks pretty tall. I'd say he's like 6'3".
Yeah, I don't know.
Can I get a positive reaction? Thank you.
Look, I just love that you're in that scene, man.
Thank you for taking the time.
No, thank you.
You've done a great job, and I wish you well, and congratulations on all your success.
Thank you so much. Same to you. Same lot of love.
Thank you, Lena.
All right, thank you.
New episodes of That Scene are available exclusively on Amazon Music, and all of Season 1 is available wherever you get your podcasts, so make sure you follow us in the Amazon Music app. That Scene with Dan Patrick, created, hosted, produced by me. Our showrunner and producer is Brendan Pike, edited by Nathan Moody. The show is executive produced by Paul Anderson, Nick Pinella, and Andrew Greenwood. Our associate producers, Bill Ryan and Marvin Prince. That Scene is an Amazon original and a production of Dan Patrick Productions.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to That Scene with Dan Patrick ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.